Our gospel today comes from St. Luke, the 24th chapter. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Grace and peace be yours from our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Convince me, make me believe. I would hear those words from Chris, my coworker, as we put buttons on the notions wall at Joann Fabrics. The late nights stocking product, you get to know people pretty well. And you talk about everything under the sun. And so Chris, in particular, liked to talk to me about faith, about the Bible, about why I was a Christian, about what it mattered and what was my proof. That's what he most wanted of all, proof. "Convince me," he'd say. And I'd respond, "I can't really, but I believe." I wish I could go back to those conversations. I'd ask more questions now. I'd have more quote-unquote expertise in the matter. Years of seminary and the stories I've heard from others' journeys of faith and journeys of doubt. And of course, the many moments I've since experienced as a person of faith. But convincing him? No. I think that's still beyond me. Even Jesus in the flesh had a hard time convincing the disciples. Did you catch that in the gospel for today? While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" Even in their joy, they weren't fully convinced. They still wondered what this was, what this meant that Jesus was among them, that he'd been raised from the dead. Earlier, they'd heard the women report his resurrection, but they didn't believe them. They assumed that it was an idle tale. Women, what do they know? But then they'd heard from the disciples who walked with a stranger on their way to Emmaus, the stranger that turned out to be the risen Christ. He broke bread with them before vanishing. At this point, the disciples have heard several reports about Jesus not being dead. And it is this event that they are talking about when Jesus shows up. And even as he stood among them, though overjoyed, they still didn't know if they could quite believe it. They thought he was a ghost. I noticed that no one sent a photo of their butterfly with their Halloween decorations. Curious, right? But all jokes aside, what does resurrection look like? What does new life among decay look like? In the photos you all submitted, we saw birds' eggs waiting to hatch in a nest, new leaves peeking through the dark earth, a covering of snow slowly melting into spring, new buds emerging. And these are certainly signs of the hope which we proclaim. The longer days and the warmer weather help remind us of the resurrection light. When I was on internship in Uruguay, I had a hard time wrapping my head around how to celebrate Easter, because in the Southern Hemisphere, Easter is in the fall, not in the spring. So I was struck today by the image of resurrection from Luke. Broiled fish. Nothing spring related at all. Just a post-resurrection snack. I also noticed that no one sent in a picture of their butterfly with their tuna sandwich. No? But it's in the quotidian. It is in, is it not, that we see the risen Jesus, the everyday stuff. He shows up walking with the forlorn disciples and hears their disappointment on the way to Emmaus. And then Jesus shows up for breakfast. And New Life is retelling the story of Scripture. Jesus opens up their minds to understand the word and sends them out as witnesses to the nations. Can you imagine all of the times that Jesus sat down with the disciples and spoke to them about the Scriptures? Countless times, I'm sure. And yet when he rises from the dead, he joins them to do it all again. He speaks to them about the story of God's people, and he reframes it in the light of the resurrection. Resurrected life isn't always about starting all over again. It isn't always about something coming from nothing, though sometimes that's exactly what it is. But resurrected life isn't always an all of the sudden thing either. New Life is the little one in the NICU growing stronger each day. New Life is a shot in the arm as we keep our mask on our face for a bit longer. New Life is in the making, and sometimes it goes unseen. We don't see all that is going on under the soil in the cold darkness of winter, but transformation is happening. Think about the birth of a child. Certainly there is the delivery where we receive that new life into the world. But think about the months that new life was developing, hidden away. What will be held by what already is. Think about the many changes that take place preparing for that new life. Sometimes new life looks like having the hard conversation and listening with love to remain in relationship. Sometimes new life looks like admitting we were wrong and being open to another point of view. Sometimes new life looks like remembering the gift that is every day, like savoring the nourishment of our meals, treasuring the ones that God gave us. Sometimes new life can be as simple as loving ourselves as God loves us, being who we were created to be. But God's new life permeates every aspect of our lives if we have eyes of faith. I lost track of my coworker, Chris, once I left that job. But if I could go back and speak with him, I wouldn't try to convince him with grand signs or with miracles. I think what I'd say to him would be pretty simple. I'd talk about hope. I believe in the resurrection because I have hope for the new day. And I have hope because I believe that new life is working among us in subtle ways, in big ways, in the unseen, and in what we can hold. I am reminded of Emily Dickinson's poem that starts like this. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words, and never stops at all. Hope never stops because not even the tomb conquers. Jesus is alive and brings new life to us all. Jesus shows up and eats with his friends, and he comes among us here today to nourish us with his body and blood. This meal that we share is hope. This meal that we share is new life. This meal that we share unites us in love. I have hope that this love will bring new life to this dying world. I have hope that though we see pain and sorrow, God enters into it to transform it. I have hope because God keeps creating. Where potential has died away, God plants anew. And Jesus keeps showing up among us, bringing us peace, even when we doubt. Amen.